Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with Discover the Finger Lakes at SaverLife.com. And over the last couple of weeks, there have been some really touching memorials and tributes to John Adamski, who passed away just a couple weeks ago. And he has a son, John Adamski, who... that makes it a little confusing, but... his John Adamski Jr.'s father passed away several weeks ago, and there have been some great tributes. One of them, Mark Stash in Life in the Finger Lakes magazine, had you can look up lifeinthefingerlakes.com and read that. And there are a couple of links to articles that John Adamski wrote. He wrote many for Life in the Finger Lakes magazine, but. Mark Stash has links to several, and one of the connecting factors with Life in the Finger Lakes magazine is that that's where John Adamski suggested in an article that there be a Finger Lakes Museum of Natural and Cultural History, and his article garnered a lot of interest and. And it's been moving forward. It's going to be, I think, a treasure in the Finger Lakes. But Natalie Payne, who is the head of the board or one of the leaders of the museum right now, wrote a beautiful tribute that I wanted to read. And I hope you go in search of John's articles at Life in the Finger Lakes magazine and. Read more about his history, just a fascinating person. But I wanted to read this because of the connection to the Finger Lakes Museum. She says, 2 weeks ago, we lost a man who meant the world to us, John Adamski. Many of you knew him as the founder of the Finger Lakes Museum. Through the years, John wore this title well. However, he was much more than the Finger Lakes Museum founder to so many of us. He was a friend, a mentor, a visionary, a leader, and a storyteller, a wildlife photographer, and much, much more. John was an authentic soul. He was never afraid to go after a new dream or desire, and when he did it with his whole heart. Here at the Finger Lakes Museum, we use this saying frequently. We are flying this plane while building it. I feel the saying relates to John's life, too. He flew many planes in relation to his personal and professional pursuits. And as he flew them, he learned, studied, and grew to be the best at what he'd set his mind to. And in the end, with each, he soared. He was also just an incredibly lucky guy. He was one of the blessed few in this world that had luck land in his lap multiple times. John was fascinated with the bald eagle. The recovery story surrounding this bird of prey is paramount to our Finger Lakes and one that John wrote about and shared time and time again. While visiting with a new museum supporter, he was sharing the story and its relevance as a paramount future exhibit. When the supporter mentioned she'd never seen a bald eagle before, his reply was to ask the supporter to turn around. A bald eagle was flying over the lake, Cuca Lake, right behind her. The joke to this day maintains he had a handler waiting behind the trees for his signal. He was lucky, but I consider myself luckier to have had him in my life. He taught and mentored me with patience. He believed in me before I believed in myself, and he continued to nurture our joint desire to see the Finger Lakes Museum become a reality. And she says, he was a great man. And I know his life and legacy will continue to live on. Now he will remain as one of the lucky ones as he watches the Finger Lakes Museum's vision continue to unfold through the best vantage point of them all. Through the eyes of an eagle. So, beautiful tribute. Again, that's from the one of the key leaders of the Finger Lakes Museum, Natalie Payne. And I think if you read some of his articles about the white deer, about bears, about his time as a fishing charter boat owner on Lake Ontario, he was an architect for New Energy Works, specializes in timber frame building. He worked in many different areas, and most recently as a wildlife photographer for several decades, quite a few decades. So, again, with I think many of the people involved with the museum would say, if he hadn't really been the key, the person with the vision for this museum, it would not be happening. If you're not familiar with the Finger Lakes Museum, you can find them online. It's located in Branchport, and it's in a former elementary school that is currently being renovated. It's at fingerlakesmuseum.org, and they have already built a kayak center on Sugar Creek, which is goes right into Cuca Lake, and it's maybe a few hundred yards from Cuca Lake, so this is very close to the lake, the northwest corner of Cuca Lake, that arm. Hunt Country Vineyards is just up the hill, and the kayak center, which is does not just rent kayaks. There are other places you can do that, so they don't do that, but they do events, and they have nature guides. So some guided tours by kayak, and the barn that the kayak center is in was donated by a family, and it was put up by New Energy Works. Their timber framers did that work and had to actually recreate some pieces that had been damaged. This barn had been in storage, had been taken down and been in storage. It actually had been moved, I think, from here to Wisconsin, and then came back. It's kind of a fascinating story. But they rebuilt it. It's from, I think, the early 1800s, and makes a beautiful center to store the kayaks and to run those nature programs out of. And the renovation of the elementary school is in progress. They've done a lot of work already, and the 2008 economic crash and recession really hurt the startup of the museum. They looked at a lot of different sites, and I love the one that they've chosen. This access to Sugar Creek. And I think in the long run, it's going to work out really well. But tons of work remains. If you want to make a donation to the museum, they I'm sure would really appreciate that. If you want to see this as a future gem of a destination in the Finger Lakes, consider maybe volunteering or donating or both. And I said this quite a few years ago about the Webster Arboretum, which is a relatively new arboretum compared to Durand and Highland Park. But it's rare to be able to be involved in the creation of a new entity like that, whether it's an arboretum or a museum, and a great legacy to leave, whether it's your time and effort and or your money and investment and donation to the museum. So we don't have anything like this in the Finger Lakes. The Rochester Museum and Science Center interprets a lot of the natural world, but this would be something that is more focused on the Finger Lakes, and it's going to be amazing as they continue work on it. So read about John Adamski. I found him incredibly inspirational, and his love of nature was really in everything that he did. So again, just passed away a couple of weeks ago, and there's some great tributes out there. If you run into some that I didn't mention, Life in the Finger Lakes or Natalie Payne's from the Finger Lakes Museum, love to read them. Send them my way, michael@saveyourlife.com. John, I've been fighting cancer for quite a while, and have been posting a lot on Facebook. He's got probably tens of thousands of photos that he's taken over the years, and so for the last year, in particular, I guess he was posting every day a number of cool photos, and lighthearted. In some cases, he has a barbed wire series of birds. These are birds that he photographs sitting on a barbed wire fence. Of course, all kinds of various types of wildlife, and some of the fish that they caught up on Lake Ontario. I think one of the last articles he did for Life in the Finger Lakes magazine, which Mark Stash referenced in his tribute to John, John Adamski wrote about his growing up on Irondequoit Bay and exploring the bay and some history of the bay itself. I didn't realize Irondequoit Bay was actually the original, that was where Genesee River entered Lake Ontario. As a kid, he would go out on a flat-bottomed wooden skiff and fish and explore, and at that point, the water quality wasn't very good, and his article helps us to realize how those kinds of things have improved in many ways as we've been more careful about our water and our air and our land and taking care of them. Lots more to do, but his article was a reminder of how far we've come in, you know, this a very local example in Irondequoit Bay. Tons of articles, well, not tons, lots of them that he did for Finger Lakes magazine. And it's one of the magazines that you should consider becoming a subscriber. I think it makes our region better. It allows you to discover lots of little things that you probably wouldn't have heard of if you didn't read about them in the magazine. There are a few publications like this that you should get: 585 Magazine and Upstate Gardener's Journal, Edible Finger Lakes. Those will be a great resource as you discover our area, and especially now in the upcoming months with this pandemic, probably traveling less. Having these publications or access to their online articles gives you some great things to go in search of, either virtually or perhaps as a drive for the day to get outside. And if you want details on any of these or more specific suggestions, send me a note, michael@saveyourlife.com. These are really great quality publications, and very inexpensive. I think 585 magazine, you can get a 2-year subscription for $18. You're getting 12 issues for that, and you're not missing them because maybe you don't see them in the grocery store or wherever you might buy magazines. So the script, having to look for them, also Edible Finger Lakes, that they so they can raise the money to go to an issue that ready to with on advertisers who had to drop off. They have not been able to publish that issue yet. So they are, I think, about 3,000 subscribers. And again, inexpensive to subscribe to, and fabulous publication. So get details there at ediblefingerlakes.com. And it's really, again, these types of things, publications make our area a better place to live, I think. I mentioned in the last hour that you need to vote, if you can, daily for Finger Lakes entities that are part of 10best.com, USA Today's online polling right now through mid-August. You can vote every day. That's what's going to push us up in positions in some of these competitions. Last week, they are part of the 20 nominees that are on this list, but it's really and it's and that's why the Finger Lakes won at least twice, maybe three times. And that also, I think, is an indication of the strength of our brand and the organizations and people that are promoting the Finger Lakes brand. So you can help our region by voting once a day. We're currently in third place behind Walla Walla, Washington. They're number two. And fabulous wine region, but let's be number one. And also, Val de Guadalupe from Baja California is currently in number one. These are online polls that are, really geared to places that want to make a name for themselves. So Napa and Sonoma are not that interested. Yeah, maybe the Finger Lakes doesn't need to make a name for itself anymore, but it would be nice to be number one once again and show these other regions that we are we have a powerful marketing and passionate fans. So it's 10best.com, and you can look up Best Wine Region 2020. You may find earlier years, those results there too, but for 2020, Best Wine Region. And then Best Winery Tour, Experience of Finger Lakes with Laura Winter Falk. She's been doing some fun posts, reminding people to vote on Facebook. You should follow her in general and consider signing up for one of her tours in the Finger Lakes. That's Experience! ! Finger Lakes. And she's currently in fourth place. She was at number two for a little while. And again, this is going to go on for a couple weeks, so she can easily move up to number one. We just need to remind people to vote, and ideally vote every day, because that's how you build the numbers in this. And this competition, the final week of voting, they take down the leaderboard, so you don't know exactly how things are changing on the leaderboard. So let's go into that final week at number one and then keep voting so that we win these categories. It's free publicity. I would venture over the last 5 years or so that I've seen them, we've garnered certainly tens of thousands of dollars, probably far more than that, in free advertising for our region. So just the voting and that online resource is one thing, but USA Today also tends to write about the winners of these categories and have done articles about FLX Table that won, as well as Finger Lakes Wine Region. So it's free promotion. Let's go get it. And I've got to do an actual test of how many seconds it takes me to vote in each of these four categories in total, but it is somewhere in the 30-second range each day total for these four categories. It really doesn't take much time at all. If you've been somewhere recently in the Finger Lakes that had a great visit, hopefully people are wearing masks, and that's what's going to allow us to continue reopening here in New York State. And you'll probably have to wear them until there's a vaccine, but it looks like at least we have a shot at staying reopen, unlike a couple dozen other states, which are really struggling right now. So wear a mask. And you know, I was just in a framing shop called Frameworks. Jason, the owner, in Greece, and you know, I wore my mask going in. He had a mask on. We hadn't seen each other in a while. We'll be able to catch up a little bit and brought home a piece that he'd done for me. Just a really nice person, by the way. A great person to work with. But it just was a reminder of how simple this is. You wear a mask. You assume people want you to wear a mask, and you actually have to wear a mask. But it's so simple if you just do what is recommended and now is mandated. So it was also just a reminder of what nice people we have in these small businesses, and we need to keep them going and help them survive this pandemic. So local independent businesses, if you have some favorites, send me an email, michael@saferlife.com. Doesn't need to be food or wine related, just business in general. I saw a note from Glenora Wine Cellars that they have had to cancel their Leaves and Lobsters event later this, it's usually in September, and just one of many, many different events that have been canceled this summer. And Michael Fitzgerald, who writes for the Finger Lakes Times, you can look up fltimes.com and find his columns. He writes about the Hector Fair, and that would be happening, this Friday night. Or this past Friday night. And the Hector Fair had been a chance it would be canceled in leading up to the 2019 version, but people got together and made it better than ever, and we're looking forward to this year. So it's, as he says, that hurts. And it's an excellent column. But he also says their cancellation announcement was more of a declaration of victory than admitting defeat. Get ready for the best Hector Fair you've ever seen in 2021. So he says, sounds like it might belong on your calendar too. So always some interesting articles about local and national issues from Michael Fitzgerald in the Finger Lakes Times. Perspective of a journalist that's worked around the country, and definitely someone to follow online or to get a subscription to Finger Lakes Times. Right now, gorgeous flowers in bloom. I mentioned earlier on the gardening show this morning that Charlie and Judy Zedek's Daylily Display Garden is open tomorrow for the final time for the season. It's a private garden, but they open it for open garden visits several days a year, and they've been open on Sundays in July this year, so tomorrow is the final one. But bring some water, because it's going to be a hot day. They're at number 1 Hillside Avenue, 2 to 6 p.m. Tomorrow. And that is between school number 1 and the Water Authority, just off of 490, either the Winton or Culver exit between those two. And you should explore Washington Grove while you're there, which I also mentioned earlier. But, June is often when Maplewood Rose Garden is highlighted, and I drove by yesterday, and there are so many roses in bloom at Maplewood Rose Garden, and very few people out exploring them. So you should take some photos, smell some roses, and maybe walk down into the River Gorge. I saw a note from the Buffalo News that they have removed the Robert Moses Parkway along the Niagara Gorge between Niagara Falls and Lewiston. And they want to make it easier for people to be able to see the gorge, and it was a reminder of just here in Rochester trying to make the most of the River Gorge that we have, and the city of Rochester is doing more with that. There's a lot of construction going on at the downtown library, there are plans all along the river to continue to make it more accessible, to really highlight this great resource that we have in downtown Rochester. So if you're out visiting the roses or exploring the river or whatever, be careful with the heat, as it'll be sunny and near 90 for a couple of days. Really important to be careful, stay hydrated. Even if you're not doing a lot of work or doing a lot, and you're staying quiet, and make sure to stay hydrated during this weather. It's amazing how many times something as simple as dehydration sends people to the hospitals and their doctors, urgent care, especially the elderly. So keep that in mind, that simply as simple as hydration makes all the difference. If you have favorite destinations, as I said earlier, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Also follow Exploring Upstate. Chris Clemens has like 1,000 Instagram entries or posts, and tons of blog entries on his website, exploringupstate.com. He helped to design my new website, and has also been a longtime contributor and one of the key people that's working on Rochester Food Net right now. So we've got a new breakfast sandwich post that's going to be going up soon that he's working on. And again, you can see what he's been up to at exploringupstate.com. He was just down in Corning, I think, this past week, and they had closed off the street in Corning to allow the restaurants there to have more on-street dining. I got to get an update from Christopher Bates and Isabel Bogacki about their new restaurants in Corning and what the status of those is. It's a beautiful place, and the Corning Museum of Glass is now reopening to the public. They have advanced sale or advanced admission ticket purchases are required so that they can control the number of people in the museum. So you need to buy your tickets in advance. And they've done a lot to work on keeping people safe. They also have a safety guide, a penguin named Pierre, who is made of glass, of course. And so kids may have some fun, especially adults too, maybe, but kids. And thinking about safety during a pandemic and the creation of Pierre, the safety guide at the Corning Museum of Glass. One of the, I mean, a world-class museum right here in our backyards. So check out Corning. Maybe visit Chris Clemens' post about downtown Corning and cmog.org for the Corning Museum of Glass. There's several ways to get there. If you want to get there, the fastest way is probably down 390 and then across 87, or I forget what the what status that highway is, but the you basically just, you know, drive south and then turn left, and so you can take the highway all the way to Corning and be there in hour and a half, something like that, hour and 45 minutes. Or you can go down one of the lakes and enjoy the views, stop at a few wineries, or on your way back. Many of the wineries have tastings by appointment, but not all of them. So if you have a couple you're especially looking to visit, look online, see what their policies are right now, and make those appointments if you need to. Not all wineries are doing that, so there's still plenty to visit, but there are quite a few that are doing it by appointment. And that's to keep people from being disappointed. You know, and it can be unpredictable how many people are visiting at any one time. So I think it's a good thing that more wineries are doing it by appointment. And it's pretty easy to check online to see who is and what they're doing. I did notice I stopped in at Casa Larga to get a few bottles of wine, and I needed some dry rosé, and wanted to try a couple. They have a new port and a couple of other new wines, so Wild Ferment Riesling. So I picked those up, and it was very quiet. There weren't too many visitors there. This was during the week, and really made it very simple to go in and pick up some bottles of wine. The governor did change the rules about bars and restaurants in response to problems that other states are having, and we were starting to have with people congregating at bars, and so bars have to sell food if they want to sell alcohol to someone, and it has to be something more substantial than a couple crackers. And this is probably a good idea if we want to keep New York State open and not have to go backwards into shutdown mode. Frustrating, I'm sure, for lots of people. And the wineries and breweries and distilleries also have to offer some food, or it has to be purchased, not just offer it, but it has to be purchased with tastings. But if you're just going to buy, as I did, a few bottles of wine at Casa Larga, you don't have to buy food for that, only if you're consuming alcohol on the premises. So it's a constant process of adapting to the regulations and response to the about it. But for now, mask when you're in public and you're within 6 feet of other people. And let's keep our businesses on their reopening trajectory. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine at 9 a.m. here at saferlife.com. Have a great day and be careful with the heat.